We're talking about knowing God and the knowledge of God and how important this really is. This sermon series is going to be God Is.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Would you pray together with me now, Lord Jesus? We do give glory to your name. I thank you that we've been in your presence already, in your house. And Lord, you've honored what we ask. And we thank you, Lord, that you're working on the needs of those that are on our hearts. And I just pray right now that you administer to us as we begin to quiet our hearts and to go into your word, that we would hear from you and that we would be doers of the word, and that would, Lord, what we hear would just change us. And Lord, that we would come to trust in you more than we ever have in the past. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And before I start, I'm humbled. I'm deeply humbled for, I did not know that you guys are going to be fasting and praying for me, and that's the first I've heard of it. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. And thank you, congregation. That means a lot to me. I of course will continue on in doing what I can do as long as God gives me the breath. Amen. Amen. I will do so. And so also Laura and I, and I'm sure Pastor Aaron and Lisa, want to thank you for the blessing of honoring us. First of all, it's always a shock to me. I always forget about Pastor Appreciation. And Shauna does a good job at hiding that. So we so much appreciate that. We're humbled by that. And we just want to be a blessing to you guys as well. All right, so this morning I have a message that the Lord has put upon my heart. And when the Lord began to put this upon my heart, I said, you know, Lord, I think this could take quite a while. And I don't think the congregation would like to stay here for 8 or 10 hours, at least today. So we're going to make this a sermon series. If you start with me in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll share with you what we're going to be talking about the next several weeks. Again, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Apostle Paul said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints," talking to this church, he says, "I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Now, I'm already getting excited just from reading that portion of Scripture. But I'm not done yet. I want you to go. We're going to have a couple opening other Scriptures. Go with me to that tiny little book of Hosea. Right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Everybody found it? All right, that's a tiny little book to find. "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Flip over a chapter two chapters over to Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. God said, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." We're seeing a recurring theme here. The knowledge of God and who God is. One more scripture. Back up now to the book of Daniel, chapter 11. In Daniel speaking, chapter 11, verse 32. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries." Now this is talking about in the end times when Antichrist comes and sets up in that tribulation period time. He said he will do wickedly and break the covenant of God and shall do corrupt by flatteries. But listen to this. "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." We're talking about knowing God and the knowledge of God and how important this really is. This sermon series is going to be God Is. We're going to be talking about who God is. And why is it so important that we know God? Because as the time persists here, and as time continues to go on, we as the people of God will need to be the ones that share the things of God with a world that does not know Him. And the people of God, according to Daniel, in these last days, by the knowledge of God and knowing who He is, will do exploits. How many of you want to do exploits? Do great things for God? How many of you have ever prayed, "God, use me to do great things for You"? That day is coming. But it's so important that we understand that it is vital in these last days that we know our God. That we know His attributes, we know His character, and that not just know about God. Church, I want you to know there is a difference between knowing about God and knowing who He is. Because it's the people that know who He is that do exploits. It is the people that have humbled themselves and submitted themselves to the power of Almighty God and know Him that will do great things in these days. You know, I think about back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I've talked about her throughout the years that I've been here, a lady by the name of Catherine Kuhlman. And how many of you have heard of Catherine Kuhlman before? This was a lady that really, her boast, the fame was nothing. Except that she knew her God. And she believed what God said. And Catherine Kuhlman said, "God, I believe in miracles." And she asked the people, "Do you believe in miracles?" And Catherine Kuhlman did, God used her so mightily in performing so many miracles of God with folks and healings and things that have happened because she knew her God. And she knew who God was. There are at least, and the ones that I'm going to be bringing to you over the next several weeks, and I don't know how many weeks that'll be, so just hold on, okay? I won't do them all, but there are at least 45 references to God's character and His attributes in His Word. At least 45. Maybe more. His Word gives us those, and we're going to spend the next few weeks discovering them, to really get to know who God is. And I think it's so important to get to know who God is. Because how many of us want God to know who we are? And why is that important? I want you to just go back to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, why is this so important? Because Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we've cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Do you see how important it is that we know God and He knows us? Because there will be many in that day that say, "But I came to church. I even did great things for God. As a matter of fact, sometimes I laid hands on people and I prayed for them and they got healed. God, you should let me in." And God's going to say, "What? I do not know you." Now, what should that say to us? You know, the other day I was talking to someone, and they've been a believer for quite some time, but when they were asked the question, "Do you know if you're going to heaven?" they replied, "I sure hope so." See, 1 John says these things are written that we might know that we have eternal life, and that we might know our Savior, and that He might know us. So that's why I think it's so important that we spend time. If we want to get to know somebody, what do? We spend time with them. You can know about me, but if you never spend time with me, you'll never know some of the characteristics of this man. Some of you may say, "I don't want to know some of the characteristics of that man." But that's the only way we get to spend and learn the attributes and characteristics of other human beings. How about with God? How many of you want to know Him? I want to know Him. So today, I'm hoping to get through at least about 7 of them. I want to get to know who He is. And this will be sort of a teaching, maybe a refresher for some others. Maybe some of you have heard some of these. Maybe some of you haven't. But you know, when we go to church, sometimes we hear words. We hear Christian words. And all of us just smile and say, "Yeah, I understand that. I know what that is." But we're going to dig into it today. Who God is. His godly attributes. What the Scriptures say that God is. The very first one that I want to talk about, that the Scriptures give us, not exactly this particular name, these first three won't give us this in the Scripture, but based around what we know of the Word of God and the counsel of God's Word, we know these are true. Number one, God is omnipotent. How many of you know that word? God is omnipotent, or omnipotent, as some people say. I like to break the word down, omnipotent. What does it mean? All important. Any other things? Omnipotent. Huh? He's all powerful. Absolutely. Yes. So what this word means is that He has unlimited power and He is able to do anything. That's who our God is. Now see, we're used to this being stuck in this humanity and things that we can do and things that we can't do. Like, how many of us can just decide that we're going to levitate and go up 150 feet and stop right there? How many of us can do that? Except for those that fly airplanes, okay? But you have a little help. But see, that's a limitation here. But with God, He's omnipotent. He can do anything. There's no limit to His power. It is unlimited. So anytime that someone says to you, well, that's impossible, what do we know about God? Yeah, absolutely. How about this scripture that's up on our wall and been here for a very long time with man? These things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's who our God is. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. And we're going to be examining these as we come through some of these characteristics of who God is. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. We've sung this a time or two here in this church. It goes like this. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Your great power and Your stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. That's the very first thing that God wants us to understand. When we come to Him and we decide, you know what, Lord, I want You to have my life. I offer my life to You. Nothing is too difficult for God. God may have spoken something to you, and you're thinking in your mind, that is impossible. That can never happen. I'm telling you. With God, how many things are possible, folks? Is anything too hard for God? Not according to His Word. Jump back with me to the book of Job. And we're going to be going through scriptures today. Let me give you lots of practice in the next few weeks of digging into the scriptures to see what God says. This is the book of Job, chapter 42. How many of you recognize the name of Job? The man that went through lots of suffering and trials. And after hearing from all of his friends who are telling them there must be a reason that you're going through all this stuff. And Job's like, I didn't do a thing. I did nothing. I'm innocent. And yet God speaks to him around the 38th chapter and says, Job, you need to gird up your loins like a man because I'm about ready to talk to you. How many of you want God to say that to you? And in verse 1 of chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou can do everything and that no thought can be withholden from You. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job finally came to this, folks. God is omnipotent. And until we come to that very first point that God is omnipotent, He is in charge. He is in control. He has unlimited power and He's able to do anything. Until we recognize that fact and humble ourselves under that mighty hand of God and allow God's power to do what God wants to do, not what we want to do. Come on, folks, somebody say amen. We're not going to see the power of God working in us. And we're not going to see all these promises of God if we refuse to accept who He is as the omnipotent God. Number two. Along with these same omni words, God is omniscient. God is omniscient. Anybody know what omniscient means? He knows all things. All things. Omniscient means He knows everything. Does God know what we're thinking? Yes. Does God know what we have done and what we have not done? Now, a lot of us would like to say, God, I want you to stay out of this room of my life because I don't want you to see what's in that room. How many of us have rooms when we have company over, we close the door because we don't want our company to look inside of that room? Because we might be embarrassed. Or if it's a laundry room, what do? We close the door. And I know there's been times without Laura's knowledge, I have showed the house to someone and the laundry room door was open. She said, "Why didn't you close that door?" Come on, how many ladies know what I'm talking about here? Sometimes guys are like, whatever, you know. But God knows what's behind door number one. Or whatever door that we have closed and we don't want God to see. Isaiah chapter 46. And by the way, these are just choice scriptures that I have pulled out regarding these things. There are lots more, and I hope that you do more studies on these. Isaiah chapter 46 right now, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Listen, folks, God, there's no shadow here. There's nothing that God says, well, you know, you might think otherwise, and it's okay. God says, I am God. I am the Lord, and there is no one like me. I am declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. You know what that means? God knows the beginning and the end. He knows the beginning of this world and the end and everything in between, folks. He says, my counsel will stand and I will do all of my pleasure. So why is it that we try to hide things from God? It doesn't work. When the Bible says this, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. And if any man sins, if you will confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins, folks. Come on now. Why are we trying to hide some things from God? And why are we trying to act like we don't think a certain way when we might? Bring that before the presence of God because He knows it already. He's omniscient. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Declaring the end from the beginning, God can tell you exactly what's going to happen. Do you and I have that ability? Because remember, He says, I am God. And I always say this, let God do His job and I'll do mine. Let God be God. God is God and I am me. And I am not God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I better hurry up. I got lots more to go here. You hanging with me? Yes. Psalm 139. And I think it's important for us to get a hold of these things, to know it in our hearts of who our God really is and to honor Him. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, Thou hast searched me. You have known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. You compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, you knowest it altogether. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Some of you say, oh no. God knows it all. He knows it all. He knows what we're thinking. He knows even our thoughts and our tongue. Last scripture on that subject is Matthew chapter 10. See, this is throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament talking about the characteristics of who our God is. Matthew 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father knowing it. God even knows when one of His creatures dies. And this one I've always loved, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. At any given moment, God could tell you how many hairs you have on your head, including your eyebrows and all those hairs that show up in various places. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? God knows. God knows. He is omniscient. Number three, the last omni word, He is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. Now what that means is that the definition of that word is widely or constantly encountered. God is everywhere. The scriptures say, where can I go, David said, to hide from the face of God? If I go to heaven, God is there. If I make my bed in the depths of hell, God is there. So, how many believe God is here? If He's in both of those places, He's in the middle. Is He on earth? His presence is here, folks. Go back with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32. Now we're going to look at verse 18 and 19 here. Jeremiah 32, verse 18 and 19. You show loving kindness to thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Great in counsel, mighty in work, for your eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Where is God, folks? He's omnipresent. And here's one of the wonderful characteristics of our God being omnipresent. We can call on Him at any place, in any time. And here's one of the greatest lies that the enemy shares with the world. He says, God is omnipresent and so am I. The devil is not omnipresent. You remember God says, I am God. I am the Lord and there's none like me. So never believe the lie that Satan might pull out and say, I'm everywhere. He cannot be and will never be. Only one. That is the God that we serve. Jehovah God. Number four. And I'm going to try to move us through here on some of these things to know our God. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Now, some people might say, He's not. He didn't answer all of my prayers. I asked Him to do something and God didn't do it. He is not faithful. Careful. Careful here. Because God didn't answer your prayer the way that you thought He should answer your prayer. That does not constitute Him being unfaithful. You see, when it comes down to it, to know our God is to know who He is and believe who He is. He is a faithful God. He has been faithful from generation to generation. and we look at just where we're at today and sitting in this house of God, that God was faithful to not take His Holy Spirit away from us. And to have His Holy Spirit here to give us the opportunity to come to know Him, I think that's faithful of God. He is a faithful God. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Going way back into that book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. As God was speaking through Moses here to the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt, here's what God brings to them. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Our God is faithful, folks. And repayeth them that hate Him to their face, to destroy them, He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. Why? Because our God is faithful. God has given me the privilege to live to the age that I am right now. And as I look back, I see God has been faithful. God is faithful. Even when we have not been faithful to Him, He's been faithful. How many of us look back on our lives and we can see times where God has been faithful, where we have not been? He's a faithful God. To 1,000 generations, He will be with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Apostle Paul speaking generations later to the Corinthian church. There has no temptation taken you that is not common to man. But with that temptation, God will make a way of escape. He will be faithful to you. And He will make a way where you'll be able to bear it. God never promised us a rose garden. God never promised that we would have just blissful life with no problems, no issues. Is there someone in here that has experienced that kind of a life? Blissful with no problems. No issues. Raise your hand if you're here because I like to meet you. Our God is faithful. And even in temptations, even in trials, He will make a way of escape. Would you say that's faithfulness? Hallelujah. Here's another one of my favorites. We're almost there. Number 5. God is not a man. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. That scripture is very clear. God is not a man that He should lie. How many of you have had people lie to you? Let me see your hands again. Anybody's ever lied to you in the past? God is not a man that He should lie. Or the Son of Man, that He should repent. What He has spoken, He will make good. So if God said it, it's going to happen. How many of you ever heard that phrase? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Anybody ever heard that phrase before? That's dating you. That was back in the 70s, okay? That came out. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I want to change that. God said it, and that settles it, right? It doesn't matter whether I believe it. God said it, it's going to happen. That's why this word is so important, and that we understand that attribute of God. He will never leave us, he said. He will never forsake us. A lot of us have had people leave us and forsake us over the years. Right?
Yes.
Done ungodly things and hurts and all the other things, but that's not the God that we serve. He is not a man, and I praise God for that. And one of the things that I will tell you this, the thing that I most do not like to hear is someone say this, well, the man upstairs is looking out after me. Know the scriptures and know who he is. He is not the man upstairs. He is to be highly reverenced and highly respected because he says, I am God.
Amen.
He is not the man upstairs. And if you've ever said that, repent and ask God to forgive you. Knowing who he is and who this Father God is. And I chose some of these to start out with because these are basic. Number 6, God is sovereign. Now these are some words that we hear in church. What does the word sovereign mean? Any answers? Holy? Anybody else? God is sovereign.
He can do whatever he wants to do.
He can do whatever he wants to do, yeah. Anybody else? You guys are all on a good path here.
King.
God is king. He is king. Yeah, the word sovereign actually means supreme. He is overall, having absolute power and unrestricted authority. That's why when you hear the term King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's what he's referring to of who he is. There's unrestricted authority with God. He is supreme. He has power over all of creation, folks. Everything that you and I observe around us in our entire life has been orchestrated by God. Everything. There's not anything that happens that's not been orchestrated of God. It's amazing to me. You know, I get to be here at the church on a regular basis, and every year at the same time, we have a hawk that shows up here. Every year. And every year, the same charades go on. That hawk is looking for food, and at least a dozen black crows are after him. And they're fighting back and forth. But I think about this. God is sovereign. And God knows that hawk and God knows those crows. And he knows everything about them and his power is unrestricted. So if God wants to do something, folks, is there anybody or anything that is going to stop that? We need to know who our God is. So if God asks us to do something, don't get this attitude, well, I can't do that. That's impossible. There's no way I could do that. How many remember the story of the walls at Jericho? God told Joshua to have these folks march around the city. Now, these walls were at least 20 feet high. And 6 to 8 feet wide in solid mortar and rock. And God told him to walk around that. 7 whole days they walked around that thing. And then the last day the Lord said, shout! Does that make any sense to you at all? That could happen? And when the people shouted and the praise went up to God, the walls of Jericho crumbled. crumble. Now these storms that we see that do so much damage, God is greater. God is greater, and He is sovereign over all of creation. There back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 24, can you tell I love talking about who God is? I love it. And I want you to get that fire as well to know the God that you are serving. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 24. O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Your servant Your greatness and Your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to Your works and according to Your might? Is there any God? Is there any God that can do according to what God does? The answer is no. The answer is no. Last one, and this kind of goes along, and these are all things that the Scripture specifically says that our God is. Number 7, He is the Most High over all of the earth. Psalm 83, verse 18 will be our last Scripture that we'll speak of here this morning. Psalm 83, verse 18, that men may know that You, Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all of the earth. Friends, I want you to know something. Those that are in authority and leadership positions and presidents and leaders of nations, are they actually leading those nations? Not according to the Word of God. See, God is setting up everything. There is nothing that escapes Him. He is the God, the Most High God over all the earth. Now, what should this do for us today as believers in Christ? It should give us a confidence of who we serve. It should give us that confidence. And when the enemy comes in like a flood into your life, which oftentimes he will, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. Then you can stand up and say, but I know my God. I know my God is omnipotent. I know my God is omniscient. I know my God is omnipotent. I know my God is faithful. He is not a man that he should lie. He is sovereign and He's most high above all of the earth. We can say that because He is our Father. And have confidence in it, folks. Have confidence in it to serve God. I've had a lot of people say to me over the years, you are just a fanatic about the things of the Bible. Now, I've had people say, you're not like any other preacher I've met. Okay. I don't care. I want to be the man of God that believes what God says. I want to believe who He is. And am I brainwashed? Yes. I am, because I know what God says, and I know that the people of God who know our God will do mighty exploits and mighty deeds. Do you want to? Hallelujah. Father, thank You for Your Word here this morning. I pray that You would give us, Lord, not only an excitement about coming to know You better here in the weeks to come, but Lord, that we would just have just that incredible, incredible place of safety in knowing who You are and trusting You. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to trust You more knowing who You are. And Lord, I pray that we would know You. and that you would know us. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.